الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is replete with hundreds or thousands of examples highlighting his mercy, his clemency, his forbearance, his tolerance, his forgiving nature, his compassion. Throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can speak today on various examples which will make us ponder and reflect that he was undoubtedly an embodiment of mercy. Which Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a source of mercy for the entire mankind. He was not just a source of mercy for the believer. Indeed, for the believer he was a source of mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the believer took Rasulullah's lesson to life as a model, a sample. And he follows that life. In every aspect of his life, he is guided. It is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the believing men and women. That he shows us the way towards gaining Allah's pleasure and gaining entry into paradise. Imagine if Rasulullah did not show us the way to Jannah. It was his mercy. And even for the disbelievers, that even though they disbelieve in Allah and they rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his wujud, his existence, his presence amongst his ummah, that even the disbelievers enjoyed a special favor because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present amongst them. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers, and in particular, Mufassirin say Abu Jahl, who was the ardent enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they used to ridicule Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mock at him, try and find some faults. They would even call him Majnoon, insane. They would say he's a madman. Ma'ad Allah. They would say he's a magician, he's a sahir. وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ ائْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So they began to say, oh Allah, if this is true and if this is your prophet and he is your messenger and what he is preaching is correct, it is the haq, then rain upon us stones from the sky or send a punishment upon us. In other words, they challenged Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are so brazen and they have such so-called confidence in their disbelief that they rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and were prepared to be inflicted with stones coming from the sky. And Allah replies to them, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And Allah is not there to punish any person as long as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present amongst you. His mere existence was a blessing, a mercy. As I mentioned, not only for the believers, but for the disbelievers as well. There was a time when the Sahaba come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, why don't you curse the mushrikeen?" And we know the persecution that the Sahaba received at the hands of the enemy. Make dua to Allah, Allah destroys them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds, he says, "Lam ub'ath la'anan. I have not been sent as a curser. Innama bu'ithtu rahma. I was only sent as a source of mercy." Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi radiallahu ta'ala, it's a lengthy incident. How when he comes into Makkah, he was a very famous great poet, master in the Arabic language. People caution him, they warn him that don't listen to that man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a poet. And he is taking the people away from the deen of our forefathers. So he says, "I actually stuffed cotton wool, hashawtu fi udhunayya, hutnan, khawfan min ay yulamisa sam'i, shay'un min qawli Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I stuffed cotton wool in my ears out of fear that I don't want any word that what this man is preaching must even enter my ear." So as he goes into Makkah, he goes into the mataf. And then he says to himself, "O Tufail, aren't you a sha'ir, a poet, and you're eloquent in the language, you're a master in the Arabic language? Why don't you listen to this man, what he's saying? Give him a hearing. If it is right, accept it. If it is not, you'll be able to discern from his language, from it, that it's poetry or not." And he says, as he went to make tawaf, he watched the same man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making tawaf. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi. He's attracted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ibadah, his tawaf, etc. He follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes up to him, "Ma anta, what are you preaching?" And Rasulullah recites some Quran for him. A few verses are recited to him and immediately he melts and he embraces Islam. He goes to his people as a believer now. He's a Sahabi. And he gives them da'wah towards Islam. But they refuse besides one or two people. His parents, his wife, and Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu accepts, embraces Islam at his hands. And he goes back and he complains to Rasulullah SAW that my people, they are refusing to listen to me. They are rejecting me. Ya Rasulullah SAW, pray against them. Rasulullah raises his hands. And the muhaddithin say that he raised his hands so high that he could see the whiteness of his armpit on that occasion. And the people were concerned now that Rasulullah's curse is going to fall upon the Daws tribe. And what did Rahmatulil Alameen say? Allahumma hdi Dawsan. Allahumma hdi Dawsan. Wallah, guide this tribe. Wallah, you guide them, give them hidayah. He did not curse them. Embodiment of mercy. It is mentioned Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi goes back and 80 families he brings into the fold of Islam. So Rasulullah, imagine if we just picture the scene. Rasulullah is being banished from Makkah Mukarrama. He's taken out. It is a very difficult period that he actually sobs. He turns towards Makkah. "Oh Makkah, I love you. Had it not been for my people who are taking me out and banishing me, I would not have left you." And the day comes several years later when Makkah is now at his feet. It's the conquest of Makkah. Every opportunity to take revenge. He could have said, "We are those people who troubled us, persecuted my Sahaba, who took away their belongings when they made hijrah to Medina." No. He says exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm," that "I will not take any revenge. I've pardoned you." This is the mercy he had, and therefore in the hadith it is mentioned, he says, "Innama ana rahmatun muhdat." I'm a source of mercy for you. I'm a gift that Allah has given to the Ummah. Imagine the incident of Taif, which we read so often and we talk about. It wasn't an easy incident, an episode in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was trying times, and the people of Makkah had rejected him. He thought, let me go to the neighboring town and city, Taif, and invite them towards Islam. Perhaps they may embrace Islam. But we know how they threw him out from Taif. They sent their dogs against him. They hurled stones against him and pelted him with stones. He falls unconscious. He's bleeding. Allah sent down the angel to take revenge. And they could have been trapped between the two mountains and destroyed. He says, no. بَلْ أَرْجُ أَنْ يُخْرِجَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. I have umid, I have hopes that Allah may create in their progeny such people who will bring iman in Allah. Do not punish them. This is the mercy he had. This is a lesson for all of us. We will hear talks on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will read so many books. And there are so many books today, even in the English language. I was just reading a book by Sheikh Sa'id Al-Qahtani. The title is Mercy to the Worlds, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mercy to the universe. There are so many incidents that will make a person think that look at the mercy Rasulullah had in him. And he was a uswatun hasana for us. An example for us to follow the qualities and traits that he had. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. We cannot go into all the different traits and character he possessed. But just this one particular one, to be merciful, merciful, merciful. Hind, she was responsible for the assassination of Hamza radiallahu anhu, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah. She appointed Wahshi to go and kill him. So Wahshi kills Hamza radiallahu anhu, Battle of Uhud. And Hind actually begins to chew his liver. They mutilate his body, his ears and nose is cut off, made into pieces, and they make a chain out of it, a necklace out of it. If somebody had to ever do that to our family member, would we not take revenge? Of course, rightfully a person will take revenge. But comes the day when Hind accepts Islam. She becomes a mu'mina. She becomes a sahabiya. And now, that prejudice that she had, the hatred that she had for Rasulullah and Islam, now it vanishes when she sees Rasulullah as an embodiment of mercy. And she comes to him and she says, from all the people in the world, I hated you the most, O Muhammad, but today I love you the most. Your deen was abhorred the most by me. I hated Islam, but now I love Islam. Sumama bin Usar says the same thing. He was taken as a captive, tied around a pillar in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for 3 days, Rasulullah SAW comes to him with politeness, courtesy, with love, addresses him, asks him, how are you? Feeds him also. And Sumama bin Usar at that time was not a believer. And he watches the Sahaba and the conduct of Rasulullah SAW. And after 3 days, Rasulullah releases him. He commands the Sahaba, release him, atliquhu, let him go. And so Sumama goes, he's released, goes to a nearby pond or river, and he bathes in there, he makes ghusl, he comes back, he enters the masjid of Nabi Sallam, and now he recites the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He embraces Islam and he tells Rasulullah, I hated you the most, but I love you so dearly. He was a magnet. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَاتٌ. He showed mercy, not only to his enemy. Imagine Ubay bin Salul, رئيس المنافقين, the leader of the hypocrites, who left no stone unturned in harming Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, mocking Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was responsible, mainly, or the main instigator, of casting aspersions against the wife of Rasulullah SAW, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. He accused her of ma'adallah making zina with Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anha. It's a lengthy incident. And he sees his opportunity when she was left behind on one expedition and they thought that she was with the caravan. And as they enter, because there's one camel and Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu is leading her, Ubay bin Salul immediately tells the other, see, they're having an illicit relationship, ma'adallah. It caused Rasul great pain and distress. But when Ubay bin Salul, despite being known as a munafiq, an open munafiq, when he passes away, there's no kafan for him. And his son was a sahabi, comes to Rasul pleading for a kafan. And Rasul gives him a kafan. Gives him a kafan. He leads his janazah salah even. Rahmatul lil alameen. He showed mercy to even the young, the old. A little child would be so honored to have a ride on the camel with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he would enter Medina from an expedition. The children should wait for him. He would place his Mubarak hands on their cheeks, talk to them with humility and love and affection. The first fruit of the season, he will take it, he will smell it. And then he'll give it to a child. Aqra bin Habis, radiallahu anhu, a Bedouin. He sees Rasulullah kissing his grandson, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Ya Rasulullah, you kiss your children, your grandchildren? I've got 10 children, I never kissed them once in my life. And Rasulullah says, that person who does not have mercy, Allah will not have mercy upon him. In another narration, Abu Amlik, what can I do if Allah has snatched away mercy from your heart? In other words, show mercy to the young ones. He could not tolerate the crying of a child in congregation. Whilst leading the salah with jama'ah, if he would hear the children crying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would curtail the salah, lest the mother must not get takleef because of the crying of a child. Embodiment of mercy, love, affection. Anas radiallahu anhu served Rasulullah for 10 solid years. He was only 10 years of age when his mother had gifted him to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, Anas will be your khadim, let him serve you. 10 years he served Rasulullah, and then he says, فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍّ قَطُّ. Rasulullah never reproached me, never scolded me. If I had to do something and I did not do it, he never scolded me. If I did something which I should not have done, then too he did not rebuke me. He didn't even tell me the words, uff. One sahabi comes into the masjid. He was still learning the adab, etiquette of salah, etc., masail of salah. And somebody sneezed in the congregation. So this particular sahabi then said, Alhamdulillah. The sahaba were in the saf, and this person happened to see that they were looking a bit upset that he is now talking or saying a dua in salah aloud. Some of them began to stare at him, and he noticed this. He asked, Ma sha'nukum? What's the problem? In salah, he's talking. He did not know that he's not allowed to talk. So they began to strike their laps or thighs with their hands to keep him quiet, to silence him. And he realized, so he kept quiet. Now he's thinking to himself, what a blunder, what have I done? What's going to happen to me? And after the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completed his salah, he said, who was it? And this sahabi thought, now he's going to get a shouting from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasulullah is going to chide and scold him. And he says, that Rasulullah explained to him very beautifully, with love and affection. And see, this salah, whilst in salah, you're not allowed to speak or do anything of this sort. The person is in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dhikr that you're making. So you're not allowed to talk. And then he says, Wallahi, Allah's qasam, ma ra'aytu mu'alliman. أحسن التعليم منه صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كهرني ولا ضربني ولا شتمني. He never scolded me. He never shouted me. He never strike me. He never hit me. He never punished me. I have never seen a better teacher, قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ, before him, no after him, a better teacher than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are lessons for teachers, of course, for elders, for parents, for mothers, for all of us in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to bring in our lives this quality of being merciful. Merciful unto mankind. Even animals, ants. Rasulullah showed mercy to tiny little ants. He's traveling with the Sahaba. And he sees a colony of ants that was burned down. He asked the Sahaba, who did this? They said, we burned this colony of ants. Immediately Rasulullah explained to them that the only person who is allowed to use fire to punish is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what you did was incorrect. These are also the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion they were traveling and some sahaba saw some nestlings of a mother bird. So they snatched away the nestlings and they concealed the nestlings. And at that time Rasul enters and he sees the mother bird fluttering her wings. And she has become frantic and she is now in distress. مَنْ فَجَعَ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. Immediately, who has frightened and scared his mother regarding her children? رُبْدُوا إِلَيْهَا وَلَدَهَا. Give back her nestlings to her. And Sahaba immediately go back and give it. At the time of Qurbani, when you make Qurbani and you sacrifice, Rasulullah in a lengthy hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ. وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. You take the knife and sharpen the knife before you put the knife on the throat of the animal, lest you cause it taklif and pain. A sahabi who was sharpening his knife in front of the animal before slaughtering, Rasul says, do you wish to give this animal two mouths? One is the actual death that it'll get when it's going to be sacrificed, and the other death is making it see. It is staring at the knife. And you are frightening this animal as though you're giving it death before it's going to die. Prisoners of war. Rasul tells the Sahaba, feed them the food you're eating. Clothe them the clothing you are wearing. Fukul aniya. Release them. Women had no rights before Islam. Read the books of Sirah and history. And then you realize how they were treated. There was no justice for them. They were literally treated as dirt. They had no rights whatsoever. Islam gave them their rights. And Rasulullah throughout his life, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look after our wives, treat them with care, compassion. اِسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. Be kind to your women folk. Be kind to them. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أُحَرِّجُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَقَّ الضَّعِيفَيْنِ. Al-yateem al-nisa. Oh Allah, I deem sinful that person who abuses the right of the woman and the orphan. He is passing away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salah wa ma malakat imanukum. As-salah wa ma malakat imanukum. Reminding his ummah to hold fast onto salah. Preserving salah. Leading our salah punctually. And taking care of those who are in our hand, in our control, our wives. And slaves and servants. Yateem, orphan. Rasulullah laid so much of emphasis on looking after the rights of a yateem, and he showed so much of mercy to a yateem. He would pass his fingers, his hand over the head of a yateem, and he encouraged his ummah also to do so. His sahabi complained of having a hard heart, and he wanted his heart to become softened. Rasulullah advised him to place your hands over the head of a yateem and your heart will become softened. And then he mentioned in one occasion, أَنَا وَكَافِرُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ. I and the guardian of a yateem will be like this on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah. And he put his two fingers together, showing closeness. I will be in close proximity to the one who looks after his yateem child. Bashir radiallahu ta'ala, who had lost his mother, he's living in Medina Munawwara with his father. And the time has come for the father to go out in the path of Allah with other menfolk. And Bashir radiallahu ta'ala is all alone. He's all alone in Madinah Munawwarah. And waiting now, just now my father will return. And then yes, the news reaches them that the Sahaba are returning. And like all other children, he goes out onto the outskirts of Medina to welcome his father. And yes, indeed, the fathers come back. And all the children, little children, they run to their fathers. The fathers hug them. They've been missing them for such a long period. And Bashir radiallahu anhu looks for his father. Perhaps he's lost in the crowd. Looks around, he cannot find his father. A little yatim, small child, not even baligh as yet. He finds Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Soft words. A little innocent, masoom child. Ya Rasulullah, ma fa'ala bi? How we would say, where is my papa? Where is my dad? Where is my father? And Rasulullah looks at him, realizes that Bashir's father has become shaheed. Rahmatul Alameen found it very difficult to now break the news to the child. Try to avert the situation at that time, and perhaps later on he'll explain to him, or somebody else will explain to him, and then he'll console him. So he just turned away a bit. And Bashir comes from the other side. Ya Rasulullah, ma fa'ala bi? Is my father? Is my papa? And also breaks down into tears. He says, your father has become the beloved of Allah. He's become shaheed. Bashir breaks down into tears. And immediately Rasulullah hugs him, consoles him. He says, Ama tarda an akun laka abak wa Aisha tu ummak. Come today, I will be your father. And Aisha will be your mother. He says, I'm happy, Ya Rasulullah, I'm happy. So he showed compassion, mercy. As mentioned in the beginning, to the believers, disbelievers, to his enemy, those who persecuted, those who harmed him. He forgave them. He did not take revenge. He showed kindness and mercy to the women folk, to the prisoners, to the captives, to the young, to the old, to the children, to his grandchildren. The love, affection, amazing incidents. He's in ruku, and Hassan, a little boy, climbs on his back. He's playing on his nana's back. And you know the ruku of Rasulullah, what it must have been like. And Rasulullah does not raise his head. Some person went by and had remarked, oh, what a beautiful markub, what a beautiful conveyance this is. That Rasulullah is the conveyance. And after Rasulullah completed his salah, he tells him, leave the markub, leave the conveyance. What a beautiful rider, my grandson. Another occasion in sajda, and Hassan Radhiyallahu has climbed on his back. And the sajda is prolonged. Shaddad Radhiyallahu anhu says, I actually raised my head and appeared to see what something has happened to Rasulullah or not. And he says, that no, Nabi Akram was in sajda and he saw Hassan on his back. And when namaz was over, then Nabi Akram said, this grandson of mine, irtahalani, he climbed on me. I did not want to hurt him by me raising my head. I would hurt him. He would fall. He would get hurt. This is the mercy he possessed. My brothers, let us go back home today. And see, are we merciful to our workers? Those people working for us, employed by us, those working for us at home. We have no slaves. We have servants. We have people working for us. أَعْطُ الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَعْرِقَ عَرَقُهُ. That give the worker his due before his perspiration dries. Abu Mas'ud was once lashing a slave that he had. There was something wrong he may have done. And Rasul sees him. And he tells him, I'lam Abu Mas'ud, Wallahu aqdaru alayka minka alayhi. Allah has more power over you than you have over the slave. You are lashing out and you're beating him. Allah has more qudrat over you. And immediately he realizes it is Rasulullah s.a.w. and he sets him free. He sets the slave free. And then Rasul says, إِنَّكَ لَوْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ لَلَفَحَتْكَ النَّارِ أَوْ لَمَسَّتْكَ النَّارِ. Abu Mas'ud, if you did not do so, then the fire of Jahannam would have scorched you. We can go on. There are so many more things I would like to share with you. Read the books of Seerah. But not just as a leisure reading. It is time that we bring this into our lives. It is time we try and inculcate these beautiful qualities in our lives. Be kind, merciful to our young ones, to our wives, to every person around us, to our friends, our relatives. Imagine a person passing away, a deceased. Rasulullah even shed tears at that time, showing the ummah there's no problem in you shedding tears when somebody close in your family passes away. One sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, ma hadha al-buka? Why are you crying? He says, Inna al-ayna tadma' wal qalba yahzan. The eye will shed tears, the heart feels the grief. On one occasion, wa inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun. Oh Ibrahim, his son passed away. And Rabi'a Kareem some shed those tears. And he said in the first narration that we will not say except those things that will please Allah. We will not complain to Allah, why did you take my child away? But this is a merciful heart. This is the mercy that a person has as a human being. And we should have the mercy. So as I said, read the books of Seerah with this intention, that I shall become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I could bring and adopt these beautiful qualities that he had, at least from today, the quality of being merciful. I end off with the quote of Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi. Just to explain to us, it's not only this occasion. Every day of our life we hear Quran, Hadith, Sunnah. Let us make up our minds to bring this into our life. And he says, half of life is lost in charming others. Half of life is lost in charming others. And half of life is lost through anxiety caused by others. And then he says, that life is a play. Leave this play, you have played enough. Leave this play, you have played enough. Time is running out. And we have to now return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had Rasulullah's seerah in front of us. Not just for showcase and just read a few stories. It is for us to implement them. May Allah grant me first, grant all of you tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.